Welcome to the Hallelujah House Podcast, an extension ministry of the Hallelujah House blog, where we encourage women to glorify God in heart, heritage, and home. This is Tammy Carter Adams.
And I'm Liz Hammond. We invite you to join our conversation today. Come on, sit around our table.
Welcome home. Well, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How did you sleep last night?
I actually slept really good. The curtains kept out any nightlight. Piper was snuggled up next to me, and I slept good. But yeah. I was wide awake at 6.
I know. You were up, and I wasn't.
Well,
I didn't sleep very well last night. Christian, my son, was on his way to the farm, and he texted me and said he's going to the emergency room. And he said he couldn't breathe, his back was hurting, his neck was hurting, and his right arm had gone numb, and he was feeling tingling in his feet. His friend pushed him aside. He drove him to the emergency room in Flagler.
It's a good friend.
Yeah, and found out he had, what was it called,
pleurisy?
Pleurisy, yeah. Which is like the swelling of the lining around your lungs. So he didn't get here until 3:30 in the morning.
My goodness.
And I was just kind of texting him from the bed. Tell them to check this. Because yeah. Christian had recently gone on a hunting trip in Spain with his father. And I was worried about maybe he got some contaminated blood or, I didn't know what in the world it was. So I didn't get to sleep until about 4 o'clock in the morning. But then when I woke up, he's coming in the door. He went out hunting this morning.
Yes, at 6-something this morning, right about 6:15. I was up when he
went. Instead of staying in the bed like he was supposed to be doing.
He is a wild man, I tell you.
I raise men, man.
You did. I told him he'd be fit for the military because they don't want you skipping out when you're sick. They want you going at it. He'd be able to do that.
And he is wild at heart, definitely. And that's basically leading us to what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. We're talking about there's fear out there for our children and our future generation children, the grandchildren that come along. But we want to talk about God created these kids for such a time as this. And it's our job as parents to prepare them for what could possibly come down the pipeline in their lives. And we do see it in the culture. We see the culture shifting drastically and quickly, like the pangs.
Yeah. Yep.
Like the pangs of childbearing.
Yeah.
Things are just coming at us so fast. So let's talk about what can we do to prepare our children for, and talk about why, that we, not to have this fear that God, has placed them, in this terrible time of this darkness that's coming and growing, but that that we need to feel that how special our kids are.
That's right.
That God created them for this time in history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a growing hostility we see towards the gospel message. And we have not even gotten the persecution that other countries have. Mm-mm. And, it's funny that I hear a lot of Christians saying, we're not in the end times, because we're not being persecuted. Well, that's a very American way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
When you look all around the world and you see how Christians everywhere are being persecuted, murdered for their beliefs.
Something I think that really opened up my eyes to it many, many years ago is the organization called the Voice of the Martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do some type of report when I was in school. And I chose to do it and listen to the Voice of the Martyrs. And I also listened to the testimony of Richard Wurmbrand, who was persecuted for his faith. And it's really powerful. I mean, to realize that, yes, we are so complacent in our cultural Christianity over here in America, where for decades other nations have been persecuted and killed for their faith. I went to China for a mission trip. We were not even allowed to say the word Christian or salvation or anything like that, even believer, because if anyone around you heard us using that lingo, they would turn that person in They would turn one of their very own in because it was illegal mm-hmm. for them to come to Christ. That was when we went to China, which, man.
So how did you do a mission trip?
Well, we went in through a couple that was stationed there for a mission. They were missionaries in China. Mm-hmm. We met up with them, and we used it as just going in, and we went into Tibet, mm-hmm. and we met with families and children. We did like balloons for kids. We hung out with them in their village. We paved the way then for that family and others to come in and minister the gospel. So okay. at first it was just showing love, developing relationships. Mm-hmm. God did open the door for us to pray with some. God did open the door for us to be able to share our faith with some, but not the majority of them. Not we were kind of the mm-hmm. first group going through to build relationships, find an open door into that community. Mm. And then we had other people that came in later, like mm-hmm. a month later would come in and really, like once we knew they were open to it, they could share their faith.
Yeah. Okay.
So we had to be very careful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you hear something in the background, I'm just going to inject this. we are pressure canning, and we're going to link our video to teaching you how to can for mm-hmm. our home segment, our comedy video, because
it is quite comical.
It's very unprofessional, yeah, so don't expect much. But
we canned what we can while we can.
Exactly. So if you want to learn, you can watch the video.
Yeah.
And we did our best to teach you, okay? But we're not professional video. We don't have a professional video team here. Mm-hmm. So I want to go into some examples of the Bible as far as during those that have been persecuted for their faith. Mm-hmm. And I have to like reflect on Daniel, the book mm-hmm. of Daniel, and there's Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and how they were, King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Israel and took captive mm-hmm. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. Try to say that 10 times. But their former names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, I guess is how mm-hmm. you would pronounce that, and Azariah. And later they had to take on Babylon names. Now here is a hostile mm-hmm. culture towards the faith, towards the Jews mm-hmm. and their faith. They held them captive, but Daniel happened to get into a higher rank because he gained the king's favor by interpreting a dream. And you can read all this in Daniel. And once he brought along Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and put them in positions, advisory positions mm-hmm. under him. So after this, you see King Nebuchadnezzar in love with himself, mm-hmm. self-love here. You know, we right. have a big culture of self-love
right now.
Narcissism. Yes. Erected this golden statue. Was it gold? Yes, gold idol he mm-hmm. created. And this thing was as high as a 9-story building. Mm. I mean, that's tall. It was 90 feet tall, and he required everyone to bow down before it.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and that crowd of people, and all the people kneel, and you're left standing.
You're the only one standing.
Mm-hmm. So I want to read Daniel 3:16. If you could pull that up,
yes.
And their response to King Nebuchadnezzar when they were confronted by why they did not kneel and the punishment they would have to endure for it.
Daniel 3,
and
what?
I know this is a familiar story to everyone. Daniel 3:16.
Okay, just that verse?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Is that the right mm-hmm. verse?
Keep going, let me see.
Okay. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up.
Mm. So we have to ask ourselves, would our children be standing? Mm. Would our children be standing? Are we preparing them to take that stand?
Yeah.
That they're willing to give their lives for to stay in truth and stand for truth. So, and I do believe that we're all going to be called at some point in our life to take a stand for Christ.
That's right.
You know, God, that's how God prepares you to stand firm in your faith. So we know the story. They end up in the fiery furnace, and he even ups the degrees for them because he was so angry with these guys.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Throws these men into the furnace, and I picture my own three sons in that furnace, Colin, Nick, and Christian. And he looked, when they open the door and the guards get burned up because it was so hot, and when they put them in the furnace, they know that the king notices that there's someone else in that furnace with them. So there's four men. And when they pull them out, not even their clothes smell like smoke. So God did choose to save them.
Yes, he did.
He saved them. So why does, but there have been other characters in the Bible that God has not saved. And we were talking about it earlier. John the Baptist was one of them. So you want to talk about John the Baptist? And
yeah, I mean, Jesus was on the scene in John's day. John had baptized Jesus, and then Jesus has started his ministry, and he's traveling around, the itinerant minister, traveling around and telling people about the kingdom of God, that it's at hand. And John then gets persecuted and put in prison for standing up, for being the only one to stand up against a very vile and wicked king, and standing up for what God calls us to do. And so John the Baptist is threatened with death. And one of the disciples of John came to the prison and said, you know, Jesus, you know, he needs to know about this. And John's like, I know. Does he know that I'm here? Does he know?
I know.
Does he understand? And, you know, John wasn't just a minister. He was also related to Jesus. He was his cousin.
Yeah.
So of all the people that you would think he would have saved, Jesus would have come to his rescue, would be his faithful cousin and minister, John the Baptist, of whom Jesus said, there is not a greater man than John the Baptist. But he didn't.
He didn't
say that. Allowed him to suffer for his faith and be martyred.
And you do see a glimpse of how Christ felt about that. Because, you know, in the word, when you read the story, when that disciple came to Jesus and told him, you know, and you can see, I think in the passage,
that's when he mentions there has never been a greater man than John the Baptist.
But he chose not to go rescue
him.
And we were talking about John's life and how, you know, I said, well, looking at it from a perspective of eternity here. John lived in, you know, he never had a home. We don't think he ever was married. He sacrificed so much in his life.
Yes.
He sacrificed comfort.
Living out in the wilderness.
He lived in the wilderness. He didn't even eat good food.
Wearing camel's hair, did not have clothing like a normal Jewish man. Ate locust and honey.
So I said, you know what? God was just saying, come on home. You've done your work. Now come
feast.
Here's
your reward. Come to your reward.
Come feast at my table. You know, so we can look at it as, oh, he didn't save him. And how sad is that? Or we could look at it as, well, his life was not, you know, it was not a pleasurable life. I mean, he found pleasure in doing his work.
Living on purpose.
Yeah.
With his mission.
Yeah.
To pave the way for the Lord.
Yeah. So his job was done, and he
and God
got
said,
his
come
reward.
On. Yeah.
He got his reward. I'm sure he wore fancy clothes after that
yeah.
and ate fancy food and had a mansion.
And we're not minimalizing persecution and facing death for your faith. I don't think any one of us would want to sign up for that.
No.
I mean, because we're human, and the fear of death is one of the greatest fears common to man. We all have a fear of death. But we may have to face some persecution in this life. I pray we don't have to face persecution of death, the threat of death, but we might have to. And we need to teach our children in these coming days, as we get closer and closer to the Lord's return, that they need to be ready to stand for their faith no matter what is threatened them, that God has them. He's going to walk them through it. He will deliver them right into his presence if it costs them their life. We've got to be able to know that they have a faith that will endure, mm-hmm. and it'll persevere, even if it means death one day. And it mm-hmm. may not mean that, but even if it does.
Yeah. And I think, too, you know, we were talking about why doesn't God always save us? He saves some and he doesn't save others. And we were talking about earlier before we started taping that it wouldn't require faith.
Right.
If he saved us if he had a pattern of saving everyone, mm-hmm. it'd be easy to take a stand for
That's
him.
That's right.
In persecution, because mm-hmm. you know there's a door out, mm-hmm. you know, of severe persecution. But he requires faith mm-hmm. in our lives, you know. And I want us to share a time. Liz and I were talking about times we've been persecuted, and I might have shared this before. I remember a time that I was persecuted for my faith. I was 13 years old. I had a crush on a boy I shouldn't have had a crush on. Mm. Well, he was showing me attention, and that didn't happen. Right. When I was 13, that just did not happen. But this long-haired boy that had a tattoo and a cigarette tucked behind his ear. Mm. And he always wore a chain from his wallet to his jeans.
Trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just letting everybody know that if you try to steal my wallet, you're going to get a moon, you know?
Oh, yeah.
His pants will come down with it. So that was, I'm sure I'm painting a perfect picture for you mothers out there.
Yeah.
A pure nightmare for a mother. Mm. But this guy started talking to me, and he started friending me and sitting beside me when I was laying out in the sun by the pool. And so, of course, I started flirting with him. And he hung out with a pack of boys that kind of moved in the same direction. And so one day I was swimming in the pool, and the leader of this pack was, this, of course, the smallest kid in the mm-hmm. in the pack. And he grabbed me, and he said, "Let's teach this Christian girl a lesson." Mm. And so he covered my mouth with his hand, and he held me down. And every time I fought, he was pushing me under the water. And they lined up, and they took turns putting their hands where they didn't need to be. Mm. Now, about after boy three, of course, I'm terrified. I'm 13 years old. I'm already struggling with going through puberty and hating the changes mm-hmm. in my body, because I wasn't a girl that wanted to grow up. My mm-hmm. sister, I think that's common with the youngest sister. They want to grow up faster than the oldest. I was having nightmares that I forgot to have clothes on in school. Mm. because I was terrified people would know that there were changes going on mm-hmm. with me, even though we were all, I knew you then, we mm-hmm. were all going through the changes at the same time. But for some reason, I was just like, I don't want to grow up, mm-hmm. So this was even more, horrifying to me. After the third guy, I just bit down. He kind of moved his hand on my, mm-hmm. and I could get access to my teeth. And I've got some chompers, if mm-hmm. you hadn't noticed. And I chomped down on that guy's hand and got away. And I remember looking back and just raised my chin a notch, like, "You did not hurt me at all." Mm-hmm. Just smiled back at him like it was nothing. But that night, Trish and I shared a bed, my sister and I, and I just remember laying on her shoulder, just crying, going, why didn't God protect me? Why did God let that happen to me? Mm. Now I will say that was just a little thing that happened in my life and the whole extent of my life. And I have shared that story often, because as I've grown up, I've realized how many girls have mm-hmm. things have happened to like that.
Yeah.
How many women are, thank goodness God didn't trap me in this victim. I'm not I don't really have a strong victimization, mm-hmm. Victim personality. Mm-hmm. I tend to move on, and I think that's my ADHD. It's like, squirrel, what's the next thing in my life? So I didn't dwell on it very long. But as I got older, I realized why God allowed that to happen to me was to minister to women that mm-hmm. it had experienced the same girlhood traumas mm-hmm. that, you know, now I have empathy. Mm-hmm. I can empathize with a woman, you know, when he's called me into ministering to women, I can now empathize with a woman who's told me she's molested. Yeah. I may not understand the full scope of her rape, but I can understand the humiliation.
Right.
And the embarrassment and the dirty feeling you mm-hmm. feel that you want to go home and get a shower. Mm-hmm. You know, I can relate to that because I've experienced something like mm-hmm. that. And for a while there, I was scared of boys, scared to death of boys. So I think that was one of the times. But God says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And God will never waste. He never wastes something like that in a believer's life. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he ever wastes it. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't gotten your reason, you know, as far as your persecution yet, or you haven't seen how it's reflected God's glory later in your life, I just firmly believe that you will one day.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I shared with you, you asked me, Liz, have you ever been persecuted for your faith? And growing up in a Christian community, I wasn't around a lot of people to have the access to persecute me because they were like-minded. They were mm-hmm. supposed Christians as well, okay? I went to a Christian school my whole life. I went to a Christian college. I worked in Christian ministry. I married a Christian man. I really wasn't around a lot of the world. I never fully worked secular jobs. I worked at Chick-fil-A. It's a Christian chicken company, you know? And then as I became an adult, I was a Christian school teacher. So I was around people of faith. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to endure really persecution. However, later, and I've shared this in my testimony before, when there became a time in my life where I got disillusioned with God, over years and years and years of disappointment and letdown and pain. And I just told him I was done. I told him I was done serving him, period. And I walked deliberately in darkness, meaning willful sin. Anything I wanted to do that I thought was going to bring me pleasure, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did things I would have never imagined I could do because I was so sheltered growing up, right? Mm-hmm. And I would have never thought I would even want to do some of these things. But when you're walking in sin and you do not have the light of the Lord guiding you, you are capable of anything. So I lived in that place of willful sin for 7 years at least, mm-hmm. 7+ years. And when God finally did what he did and he brought me back to himself and he opened up my eyes and I saw what I had been living like and the shame that I was in and the misery and the total deprivation, depravity of how I was living, God opened up my eyes and he brought me back to himself. It was night and day difference. And here's where the persecution comes in. Because I had a group of friends that had been lifelong friends, but at this point in my life, we kind of ran in a pack together and we were not living for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Anyone that saw us would have never known we were Christians. Nothing we did represented him at all well. In fact, everything I was doing was denying him.
Yeah.
So when the Lord brought me back, those very friends who meant a lot to me, and I love them still. I love them. They just said, Liz, you're too much. It's too much. I can't deal with the extreme. You know, you're either hot or cold. You're black or white, and it's just too much. I mean, I didn't really want you all the way over here in this darkness, you know, putting yourself in danger, but I don't want you over here either where everything you say is about God. I mean, it's too much. And it was really painful because I felt like what they were doing was just cutting me off. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're not going to be able to be friends anymore. I can't be around you. And I had spent a good 7.5 years with these girls.
Yeah.
So the persecution was on their part unknowing. They didn't know that it was causing me to have pain and suffer because of my decision now to walk with God and to follow God no matter what he called me to do, mm-hmm. no matter how extreme. And I am an extremist. Look, when I'm in darkness, I'm extreme. I'm going to go to the lowest level.
Yeah.
But when I am walking with the Lord, it's going to be 100%. I can't play around. Mm-hmm. It's all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the persecution was that I lost some relationships that were very dear to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I try still, God has just said, you love them, you pray for them, but those relationships are severed for right now.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard.
And, you know, I find that true too. If you have, it's, you know, God has really put me in times of my life where I was like sharing my close, intimate friendship and my thoughts and things with unbelievers and how that came back to bite me.
Wow.
And God showed me, you have to be careful
mm-hmm.
who you share this this stuff about your life with, you know, you who you're sharing your life with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you can't have a friend that's an unbeliever. I'm not saying that, but do not go tell someone that doesn't have Christ indwelling, the Holy Spirit indwelling in them, your most intimate details of your life.
Right.
Because, you know,
they will use it against you.
They will use it against you.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me. And I don't want to go into how that's happened to me, but I realized that I had to sever some relationships and bring them back to a surface level.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm constantly praying for those friends.
Right.
In fact, you know, I have them written down, you know, that I pray for them to come to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's, I will pray for them.
It's a burden.
It's a burden mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, for me.
Yeah.
And, I see the sweetness in their spirits at times, but I've also seen the very, very ugly, insecure,
mm-hmm.
Horrific part of that personality as well. But I know that if they came to the Lord, I'm always like, God, they would make great Christians. Come on,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
please, you know?
Yeah.
And all I can do is be the light to them, you know, and hope that they want
mm-hmm.
Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
And that peace.
You can't walk in darkness and then be delivered from that and then just play around with it after that. You can't. You have to come out completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to be alone. You're going to be isolated in it. And it's not a place where a lot of people want to go.
Right, right.
So that is the persecution that I've faced. You've faced some. I think with the coming last days, the last hours mm-hmm. that we're living in, we're going to see it a lot more. Some of us get upset because Twitter has blocked us or Facebook won't let us post a post that's about, you know, Jesus or Lord. Oh, that's real persecution, isn't it? Seriously? Seriously.
Exactly.
It makes you mad. Well, let's see if they won't let you use your credit card anymore
mm-hmm.
because you've stood up for your faith.
Yeah.
Okay, are you going to stand for your faith then if you can't pay your bills? And, you know, it's going to get ugly.
Mm-hmm. It will.
Be ready.
Yep. What can we do now to prepare our kids to be able to stand firm mm-hmm. is what I want to give you all some practical things that what we can do for our children today. And I'm not perfect at these. I'm
none of us are.
No. I mean, God gives me these things to say in these vlogs, and sometimes I'm cringing when I'm saying, I'm like, I got to do that at mm-hmm, home, you know, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I'm relaying information that God has put on my heart.
Yes.
So, and I'm, you know, I'm the first to admit I got to get better about this. And one of the things is have your children memorize scripture.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a day when they can't have their Bible,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the more we can have them memorize scripture, and the more they have it in their brain, that gives God access to his word to impress on them. You know?
And as you're saying these things, I want to speak to the women who your opportunity to have children in the home is gone. You're an empty nester now. you can still do these things as a parent of an adult child. Just encourage them now. You can't tell them what to do anymore,
yeah.
But you can encourage them
mm-hmm.
and come alongside of them and say, hey, I'm learning scripture too. We need mm-hmm. to do this.
I think our pressure canner likes that.
It's agreeing.
It keeps going
it's
up.
It's agreeing with the twabble.
I know. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Okay, so I wanted to read Isaiah 55:11. Because God promises that whatever, you know, when they do memorize scripture, that his word will not return void in this passage. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And with Bella, you know, she memorizes it with her school. She goes to a Christian school. She's privileged to go to a Christian school. And I'm so thankful for that. But she has to memorize scripture every week, mm-hmm. you know, for her Bible quiz. And I started to realize that, you know, when I was growing up and memorizing scripture, I didn't even know what it meant or how to apply it to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've tried to make it a point that when she's memorizing her scripture, I'll ask her,
mm-hmm.
what do you think this means?
Mm-hmm.
How can this fit your life, you mm-hmm. know? And she'll think, and sometimes she'll get it. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes it's simple enough concept that she can understand it. Mm-hmm. Other times she's like, I don't know, or she'll guess something that's totally off base. But
yeah.
And so we discuss it, and I think that's so important.
Yes,
that's just not just memorizing words, but knowing how to apply that scripture to your
practically,
life.
Practically, yes.
Yes.
Like, here's a scripture: confess your faults one to another, so that you may be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Healing and faults, what does that mean? You know, like, I thought you only healed if you're sick. Well, faults is your sin, and sin makes us sick. And it's helpful to confess that to another person, say, you know, I'm struggling with this.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to know that. I want you to help hold me accountable. Or I'm sorry that I've acted this way in front of you. I need your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
When we do that, the Lord brings healing into our life. Healing emotionally, spiritually, it can be physical, but yeah. There is going to be healing that comes. So that, you know, like bringing it down to a practical level. If she yes. had to memorize that scripture, that's how we,
mm-hmm.
you know, make it practical. And it's not just little kids that don't understand. We adults have a hard time understanding scripture and how it really applies to us. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, get some concordance, look it up online, look and see what scholars say about that verse and how it applies to us today.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, make sure you have a wise woman in your life that, mm-hmm. that you respect.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they're older women
mm-hmm.
that know the Word of God, that have spent years studying it and living it out. And if you can bring somebody like that to speak into your life, that is golden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, disciple, put yourself in a discipleship mm-hmm. relationship with somebody.
Yeah, that's good.
So when I was homeschooling the boys, I homeschooled them for 2 years, and boy, that was enough. I respect all you women out there. I don't regret it whatsoever, because my boys tend to tell me everything. Sometimes it's alarming, the stuff that they tell me, and I'm like, I have to go in a corner and cry and beat myself up that
that's
I failed
hard.
Them.
Yeah.
But I am so glad that we have that relationship. And because I homeschooled them for a couple of years, we have that relationship. But when we were homeschooling, I had them 1 year do Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, where I wanted them to dissect each passage and study what was the wise man compared to the foolish
mm-hmm.
man. And I think that is valuable to kids in high school, especially
mm-hmm.
before they go to college.
Mm.
You know, have your children go through the book of Proverbs
mm-hmm.
and have them read it and, you know, write a couple of sentences from each passage. And man, you know, you really can identify foolishness
mm-hmm.
when you've taken time to really study what it looks like
mm-hmm.
and wisdom.
And if if they've just got school out of the wazoo and they don't want to write sentences and it's more difficult, have it to be a talking point at the dinner table. Yeah,
mm-hmm. exactly.
Just talk about it. You know, don't make them feel like it's a subject again. Oh, I got to do more work.
Right.
You know how,
true.
Ugh.
True.
Yeah.
If you're homeschooling, it's a good little thing to do for the Bible class.
Yes.
But if you're not, we did this in a teacher's class together, mm-hmm. you and I, mm-hmm. in elementary school.
Yep, we went to a middle Christian school together. Yep.
Middle school. Yeah, and I've got threatened to be. I got threatened with a spanking because I thought it was in the locker.
An assignment that she had given you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Your Proverbs notebook or mm-hmm. whatever that you had to bring to class.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You had to show it to her that you did the work.
Yes.
And I remember telling her, I think it's in my locker. And so she followed me out to my locker because we went to a really strict Christian school.
Yes.
And she said, I'm going to spank you if it's not in here. And I was like, what? Mm. Oh my goodness. And so she called my mother and asked permission.
This is when spanking was not only encouraged, but very much promoted.
Yes.
In Christian schools.
And she called my mom, and my mom goes,
private.
Well, she said she thought it was in her locker. How is that a lie?
Yeah.
And found out it was at home. You know, I'd left it at home. So anyway, my mother said, no, you're not allowed to spank her.
Yeah. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
Thanks, Mom, for standing up for us.
Yes. So I also think we should teach our children how to abide.
Mm-hmm.
How to abide. Abiding in the vine. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my boys have gone through the Richard case study that we did. And if you want to learn how to abide,
mm-hmm.
we have it on our website, on the podcast. We teach a study called Abiding in the Vine, Hearing the Voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're, and that is so valuable. That was life-changing, life-transforming mm-hmm. for my husband and my relationship with Christ
mm-hmm.
and our marriage. And our boys have gone through the study as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really good.
Most adults don't even, if you said, could you define the word abide,
mm-hmm.
biblically speaking, like what does that mean when Jesus says abide in me and I in you? No, most people would not even know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to learn what abide means.
Exactly.
So when Tammy uses that word, and she uses it a lot when we're talking about God and our relationship, it is a literal, genuine word that reveals an intimate relationship
mm-hmm.
with Him.
It's, you know, I think a lot of times we focus on Bible studies. You know, we're like, oh, I'm doing my Bible study. Mm-hmm. Check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to hear the preacher. Mm-hmm. Check.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they're abiding in that, but you're not. Mm-mm. That's not abiding. Mm-mm. Abiding is when you are having a quiet time one-on-one with God
mm-hmm.
and you're allowing Him to speak into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a back and forth communication with the Lord. And the Bible supernaturally can speak into your life, into situations that you're going through, and you're journaling. Because when the creator of the universe speaks, I always say this because some people say, oh, I don't like to journal. If the creator of the universe tells you something, mm-hmm. you don't think it's important to write it down?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes He'll tell you something that may not happen for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I can look back through my journal, and there's no greater faith builder.
Mm-hmm.
Than being able to look back in your journal and see where, oh my goodness, God told me this
mm-hmm.
back here.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's happening now. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And there is a complicated view of God speaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
When Tammy or I or any, you know, most anyone says, you know, I know God told me this. What we mean is we know He has prompted us within our spirit to do something, or mm-hmm. He's clearly said something within us. We don't hear His voice audibly.
Mm-mm.
Like I'm talking to you right now.
Not that He can't, though. I'm very clear. Not that he can. He's the creator
of
the universe.
He's done it all through the Bible.
Yes.
But
I don't like it when there's a group out there that say, no, if you heard it audibly,
right.
absolutely not. They cancel it out.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
But I'm not saying that's how He does it. Yeah, it's not common.
It's not a common way, yes.
It's an inner prompting. When you are focusing on Him and His Word, the Holy Spirit, what they say, illuminates things to us. He illuminates His will and His Word to us. And we know He's talking to us like mm-hmm. that. We know He's saying, I am going to make your marriage what I purposed it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that. Trust me. I've got your back.
Mm-hmm.
When your spirit is saying that, but you really didn't believe that, How is that coming from you? It is God. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit.
And I think too, it takes time to get to know the Father's voice. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and you won't, you, when you first start, you don't get it right all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you're, and what happens is it's, I liken it to a child, an infant, you know, you're trying, an infant's trying to learn the language, your language, and you're like, no. But it's us as a parent responsibility to make sure our child understands what the word no means. Just as it's God's responsibility when he's telling you something, and your responsibility is to be present,
right?
Be in his presence, carve out that time, make it intentional. Mm-hmm. And once you make that time intentional, God will start to reveal things to you, and mm-hmm. And you write them down.
Yeah.
And you can ask God, did you say this, or is this coming from me?
Right.
And then he will lead you through scriptures. He mm-hmm. will, because mm-hmm. he's just faithful in that way, because he yes. wants to get the message across yeah. to you. He wants to communicate with you. So it's just being present in his presence, and we're to be the branch mm-hmm. is the way we're described. Okay, so if you could teach your children that's very important, especially when they leave home and they're having to make their own decisions. Pray with our children, for our children, their future spouses and their future generations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Praise the Lord. That's something God led me to do in the past 4 years. My son has been married now for a year, almost 2 years in December. He'll be, 2 years. And before he was married, you know, he'd been dating Reagan for a while. And, you know, we just were really careful about not cozying up to any of his girlfriends. Mm-hmm. We were very careful. We did not want him thinking that we wanted her to stay in his life if God had someone else for him. So until we knew and right. he told us, I think she's the one, we were just very casual and all of that. But anyway, here's what we did do. We prayed fervently. Lord, if Reagan is the one that you have for Christian, you know, confirm that in his heart. Confirm it in hers, because we will love her and accept her and welcome her. But it all was confirmed through prayer. So it's a powerful thing to begin to pray for your children's spouse, your children's children that he's going to bring into their lives. Just praying. There's so many areas we can begin praying for our kids. So Tammy just had a malfunction. Her mic just like fell right into her lap.
We are the most unprofessional podcast out there. And just want to promise y'all that.
It's okay.
It's good to put that out there, because yeah. I don't want your expectations to be too high on me.
No. We just two girls that love to discuss and have conversation about God. And okay. That's what we do.
My microphone is now back. Told you I need the weight. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. Back in business. Okay. Oh, let's see. I also want to instill in our children, I think it's important to instill in your children the importance of standing up for the weak. And I think when we instill in our children to stand up for those weaker than ourselves, then they will, with practice, gain courage in standing up for their beliefs. I mean, it's kind of like a practice run mm-hmm. for what they will, building them up to stand up for their faith
yeah,
later.
That's right.
If they can stand up for their weak, and we have to model that in mm-hmm. our own lives.
Yeah.
In today's world, there's a growing resentment towards the elderly and the weak. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed this. I personally think it's increased since COVID. I don't think elderly got the care they should have been given.
Oh no.
Or the respect. Mm-mm. We had a friend that her dad was, and your mom, mm-hmm. they were both tied, restrained to their bed.
5-point restraint. My mom was only 4-point.
In the hospital.
2 doors down from each other on the same floor in the hospital.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And your mom survived, and her dad didn't die of COVID.
No.
No, he died
By neglect.
Mm-hmm. No food, no water.
Because he was 78 years old and he had lived a long enough life. Mm-hmm. So really what good purpose does he serve anymore? That's basically what they were saying by neglection, mm-hmm. by neglecting him.
And if one person in that hospital was stood up and mm-hmm. said, no, this is wrong.
That's right.
He might be walking today.
Yeah. So you're right about that.
That breaks my heart. And that same girl, it's a girlfriend of Liz and mine. We grew up with her, and she's a woman now, I guess I should say. Mm-hmm. That same woman took care of my father recently when he ended up in the emergency room, and they allowed him to lie in his own mess and totally tore up his skin on his backside. And this woman, I'm not going to give her name, but she lovingly cared for my dad by bathing him mm-hmm. and attending to his wounds. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a little healing for both my dad and for her. Mm-hmm. My dad, for the experience he went through, but not only that, he, you know, losing his daughter earlier, mm-hmm. he got to talk to her about that.
Yep.
And him faced with his own, you know, death.
Yeah.
Imminent death or whatever, what he thought would be. So anyway, I encourage everyone to, we need to look at the elderly as valuable, mm-hmm. valuable members of society. They have so much knowledge, but I honestly believe there is an agenda to get rid of those with wisdom.
Yeah.
Those that have lived through situations mm-hmm. that can speak into government policies mm-hmm. and things that are being passed. And I do think that there might be an agenda to get rid of those people, mm-hmm. but we need to stand up for them.
That's right.
Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Just teaching our kids to respect their elders, period. You can teach them that. Your elder is, if you're 21, your elder is 30 and above, you know, or even younger than that. Anyone that's older than you, respect your elders. Mm-hmm. And if you see a little old crippled man and his wife trying to get out of a car on a curb near the shopping center, and they're struggling to do that, go up and help them. Hold the door for them. Say, how can I help you? Can I help you get in there?
Mm-hmm. What greater example to our children than for them to see you do that? Mm-hmm. Another thing is be open and honest with our kids of what they may face in times to come. Mm-hmm. And I think we can be open and honest by showing them history, mm-hmm. how persecution came about in history in the Bible, all the Bible stories of persecution, mm-hmm. and making them realize that this can be you,
yeah.
you know, this can be you,
yeah.
and we need to be ready for it. And also showing them what people in other parts of the world open their eyes to what that organization you mentioned,
Voice of the Martyrs.
Voice of the Martyrs. We get their magazine. Mm-hmm. We're supporters of mm-hmm. Voice of the Martyrs, and if you maybe we can provide the link to that.
Yeah.
But it's a really good magazine to read, mm-hmm. and you can show your children, the children in there, and what they're facing.
That's right.
If they're old enough, you know, mm-hmm. I think they need to be a little older to understand it. But that's a way of preparing them.
Right.
Sharpen our older kids' discernment, mm-hmm. mm. especially before they go to college. I think right. middle school, we should be starting, by the time they're like young teenagers, mm-hmm. start sharpening their discernment.
Yeah.
With us, it's like, sometimes we'll watch a movie trailer, mm-hmm. you know, trying to pick out a movie and see if the kids can pick something out of it. If you notice something in it, mm-hmm. recently Christian pointed something out to me mm-hmm. that I didn't, the law of attraction in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking it was just a normal romance movie. He goes, Mama, that's the laws of attraction. Mm. And I went, oh yeah. So sometimes their discernment can get a little sharper than your own. My dull discernment. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, he's not only your son, but he's your brother in Christ.
Yes,
and
he
it is his. It is his responsibility to sharpen and chisel and be an instrument God uses, even in mm-hmm. his mom's life. So mm-hmm. that's good.
Stress our children that they have a God purpose and point out ways God is working in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will jump on board with that right there.
Mm-hmm.
See the gifts and talents God has put in your children's lives and be a voice of exposure to expose what you see, confirm that God has given that to them and pray mm-hmm. that the Lord calls that out in them. Mm-hmm. My son, Christian, he struggled. I've said this before, I think, on a podcast. He struggled with anxiety. So I really believe God would have been in your belly just growl.
Did you hear it?
Yeah. I heard something.
Y'all need to like put bubble wrap around me and like the foam. You need to soundproof my belly when I'm hungry.
Christian struggles with anxiety. So my Christian, it's funny. Mm-hmm. We both have boys mm-hmm. named Christian. And
it's still growling.
He, it's okay. All right. So I believe God is going to make him like Gideon. So I call, mm-hmm. I pray that God will call out the Gideon spirit in him. He's mm-hmm. going to be a courageous warrior. He's going to lead many to battle towards victory. He's going to lead many in battle towards victory for God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I've been praying that over him for the last 4 years, and I'm not silent about it. I tell him, mm-hmm. God's going to set you free from this, and he is going to use you. You're going to be a man of valor. You will not walk in fear, mm-hmm. you know, and his
that.
Gift of communicating with people. He's really gifted at that, especially communicating with older people than he is. Mm-hmm. His boss and all his supervisors tell him, Christian, there's something special about you. Mm-hmm. And they see it in him. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. We need to call that out in our kids.
Mm-hmm. Remind our children that they are to reflect God's light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. They have a responsibility,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
but they need to lean on God. They need mm-hmm. to have a relationship with God in order to do that, mm-hmm. not to do it in the flesh.
Right.
But to always, you know, mm-hmm. pray and ask God, what can I do in this situation,
yep.
Lord, that will give you glory.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So with all that said, I hope we got some information there that you can use as a mama mm-hmm. or as a grandmother mm-hmm. for your grandkids. Do not fear. Right. God knows the cultural climate, and he knows his plan for his children. Mm-hmm. And he's created them for such a time as this.
That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So go be with God. Blessed be the name. Never know how to end these.
And that was good.